Radio.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
A very warm welcome to the Evening Show podcast from Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart. Hope you're well. Producer Vin is here and we're going to tell you all about the wonderful content in this week's edition. Come on, Vin.
You set me up to do that.
I was just hoping you'd say, yeah, it's been a great week. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Right, okay.
You, I think you were busy doing something.
I was shuffling.
Your planes. There's nothing on that paper, is there?
Shut up.
You looked very efficient. It's been a good week, though. We're going to play out in the Evening Show podcast a bit of the Stereophonics interview that we did.
So that was from a couple of weeks back when we went to Cardiff.
Yeah, see, Vin in Cardiff was interesting. I like to see, you've got a really interesting handle of social media, and I like the way you have a different discipline on each one. And the pictures you posted, they were on Facebook. They stayed on Facebook. And
yeah,
I like that.
They're for me. They're not for the wider world. They're not for consumption.
But yeah, it was good fun seeing Kelly Jones. It's weird, you know, 20 years since Word Gets Around.
Yeah, amazing.
And to see them in that, you know what the best thing I saw at that gig? Was the granny on somebody's shoulder.
Yes.
What a brilliant performance. Yeah. Really enjoyed that.
So we've got that chat. We've got Wombats as well.
Yeah, Wombats as well. Yeah, Murph flew in all the way from LA, straight off the plane into the studio. And told us all about fighting with his girlfriend on Mulholland Drive.
Yeah. Damn. And who was the other person? Oh, Serge, of course.
Serge Pizzorno, yeah. Serge came on this UK tour just around the corner, which I'd always get a little bit nostalgic when Kasabian do a UK tour because some of the best nights I've had in my life have been at their gigs. I remember being at Earl's Court in 2003 playing football after the gig backstage. It was outstanding. They are one of the best live bands you'll see.
Well, that was good fun because we did the interview. He was in his hotel room in Cologne, wasn't he?
Cologne, yeah.
So he got a little shifty around.
I think we caused a bit of bother, actually. I don't know if I've explained this to you, but
no.
He didn't have the best room. And he only realised that there wasn't a cathedral view when I said, can you show us the cathedral from your window? It's the only thing. And Cologne's quite an interesting city because it was completely destroyed by World War II.
Right.
And all that is left is this amazing cathedral, this huge cathedral that dwarfs everything.
And he just got offices.
Yeah, he had the warehouses and the factories at the back.
Wow.
Tom had a lovely view, though. So all of that in the Evening Show podcast.
Yeah, plus we did Gorillaz, classic albums as
yes,
well.
Yes, we did classic albums. And that
the debut.
I'd forgotten it was 2001, you know.
Yeah.
It didn't.
That was a really big deal when that came out, wasn't it?
We keep doing this, you know, keep thinking something was 10 years ago, but it wasn't. And it was a massive deal because it was Damon really spreading his wings. And it's a cracking album, listening back to it. Some great performances on there. So all of that on the Evening Show podcast. Please enjoy.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
A man is in Cologne in a hoodie top. Serge Pizzorno joining us all the way from Germany. Hiya, Serge.
Hey mate, you alright?
I'm good. Now talk us through, paint the picture for us.
Well, every now and then, you know when you just need to wear a tracksuit, you know, every now and then. Even rock stars have to wear a tracksuit every now and then. You ask Elton John the same story, man. We played in Switzerland last night and we got here on the bus. That's why my voice has dropped an octave. We were singing all night on the bus.
Excellent. Another sensible Kasabian tour journey in Europe, then.
Exactly.
That bus is like a vortex, isn't it?
I don't like the bus anymore.
Now, Serge, you're on to talk business tonight because the UK tour starts in 2 weeks' time. Some new tickets released as well. That's a well-worn path around the country as well. You must not like the back of your hand after 15 years. Are you looking forward to getting out again? Because the album, right, since we last spoke, number one, gone gold. It's been a great, great little campaign, hasn't it? And now it's time to go absolutely bananas and play it to the British people live.
Yeah, honestly, like, I mean, the collection of songs we've got now, the set is, the curation of the set now, where things come in and out, it's a real gem, you know? So, I mean, we've been playing in Europe and honestly, every night it's just insane. So, God only knows what's going to happen when we hit in the UK, you know?
The last time we had you on the show, Serge, it was the evening the album went on sale. It went to number one. And in that time, the fans have got to know the music. Seeing those songs being taken on board by all the Kasabian fans, what are the ones that have really set the heather alight for them?
I've got to say, I mean, the real Ill Ray's kind of the one that's really taken, like, it's weird. You can never predict. And that's why I love it, because as much as you think, you go, oh, this is going to be great. It's what you just, and it's weird. Like, I always, like, Vlad's another one where you just go, how on earth has that become that huge? And Ill Ray's kind of taken on that slot. It's like, that's, it's just, I mean, it, and we open with it. I hope I'm not giving too much away, but we open with it.
Yeah.
And it just sets the tone, you know, it sets the tone for this sort of hypnotic, you know, like, just sort of gathering of people that are just there to just lose themselves in that moment. It's amazing.
Can you give us an idea of how Tom's preparing for this as well? Because I imagine he's always like a coiled spring, and this is what he lives for, isn't it?
Yeah. And he's just, you know, he's... they don't really make front men like that, you know, anymore. We figured where we fit in it all is making sure people go away going, that was easily the best night I've had in a long time, you know what I mean? That's kind of where we fit in it all. Because Sabian as a thing, that is it, man. It's like you go away going, man, I need to do something tomorrow. Yeah. Big, you know, I need to sort whatever those plans I had. Whatever I was going to do, that is what I'm going to do tomorrow. That's what I've decided now. That's it.
Yeah. That should be on the poster for the gigs coming up.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Serge, I haven't seen you since you played the best, the amazing night for FIFA, where you got the chance to perform for Neymar, Messi and Ronaldo. You've got to tell us what happened afterwards. What were they saying?
I mean, those things are mad. We've done the BAFTAs before. So you go and you do your sound check, and then in front of you is like sticks with placards, you know, of people's faces. So they know, the TV knows where everyone's sitting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But this particular one, the football one, so you've got... So in front of me, there was Maradona and the real Ronaldo.
The real Ronaldo, yeah.
And then to the right of them was Neymar, Messi and Ronaldo sort of sitting together. And there's a break. In El Rey, we played El Rey, there's a break in the song, and I was like, man, these things are pretty... You know, they're like, whatever, you just watch them on TV, you know, band plays, whatever. And I was like, it gives me an opportunity just to go into the, just to go and see what happens, you know what I mean? And I like those little things in my head going, you're not going to do it. In my head, I'm going through that before.
Did you know you were going to do it?
Well, that's the thing, Ranieri was there, so I thought, well, I've got to go and see Ranieri. So
yeah.
I hugged Ranieri, which is nice, and then I saw him and I was like, if they don't high-five me back, it's going to be everywhere, you know? Can you imagine?
Yeah.
I'm thinking, this is dangerous. But Neymar's giving me the look as if to say, yeah, I like your outfit. So I'm like, yes, I'm in.
Yeah.
So I plunge straight to him, bang. He gives me the five. That then dominoes, because the other two are like, well, if Neymar's doing it, then I've got to do it.
Yeah.
Then Messi, then Ronaldo. And then Ronaldo and his little son there, so a little... fist pump to his little lad.
Yeah.
Then walked off. I was like, yes. Then Maradona was there absolutely as he walked off stage, which is, all right, Diego, back. That's a mad night. That's a mad night.
I mean, you've ticked quite a few boxes in that one little sort of 10-second spell, haven't you?
I don't do autographs. You know me, Gordon. You don't do autographs.
Radio. X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
So, it's time for a bit of Week in Rock and Roll. Every week around this time, I like to discuss a story that's caught my ear, caught my eye in the music news. And I love the Beatles. We talked about them earlier on. Golden Slumber is in the news again, one of their best songs ever. Elbow are covering it. But get on this. If you're fancying something really special and you're a Beatles fan, to treat yourself this Christmas, they're re-releasing the Flexi discs that they used to bring out as a Christmas special every year. It's pretty specialist memorabilia, this. So, every Christmas, the Beatles would put out a sort of Christmas album on a bit of colourful plastic vinyl. And it'd have some extras on there, the band saying hello, wishing some messages and good greetings for the festive period to all their fans. They'd get their pals on it and put together some nonsense, really, that they were famous for, and give it out to the fan club. So it's become really, really prized memorabilia. But this year, the Beatles are re-releasing the whole set from 1963 to 1969, I think it is. And one of them, I think it was 67, Kenny Everett actually curated the music and all the nonsense on it for them. So it's really good stuff. And if you're a Beatles fan, it's money can't buy memorabilia. It sounds brilliant. I would love to have it. And of course, it's in really wacky colours, a bit psychedelic and classic Beatles magic. Have you got any Christmas? I really want this, Finn, by the way. Not that I'm dropping any heads. I really want this. I'm sure Moyles will get it, or Johnny Vaughan will get it, but I really want this.
It does sound quality, yeah. But no, I'm not really big on Christmas memorabilia too much.
No?
I think it's a great idea. I really like the idea of that.
Yeah.
I just remember getting a Have Yourself a Very Smurfing Christmas. And that was last year.
Mr. Ploppy was a big Christmas thing. So that's your vintage, isn't it?
I think
Don't give me the old really. You had that
No,
single.
I think I might have missed out on that. I remember watching Mr. Ploppy on TV, but I never got into his musical canon.
My first year working in newspapers in London, I remember the Christmas race for Christmas number one was The Darkness, Don't Let the Bells End, and Avid Marian and Bo Selector.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, X Factor always won it, didn't it? But I got quite a lot of memorabilia around that. I got some vinyl, some picture disc vinyl from The Darkness.
Christmas time Don't Let the Bells
End. I might be the only person in the world with Avid Merian vinyl. If anybody wants to buy it, you know where I am. Get in touch with Radio X.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm joined by two of the three members of the Wombats, Matthew Murph Murphy. Good to see you, sir. And Dan Haggis as well. How are you, lads?
Very good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. You've turned up, as I would expect musicians to turn up. There's a guitar in the corner. Murph, did you not bring anything?
No. They wouldn't let me have too much luggage. I just flew in from Los Angeles today, so
yeah.
They wouldn't let me bring any of my guitars.
God, you just can't have that through customs.
No, you're just not allowed, no.
Donald Trump has now banned all music.
Yeah, all fun.
You can, all
anything
fun's
that
canceled.
Provides fun is now banned.
So there's a lot to catch up on, lads. You know, you've had a busy summer as well, an incredible anniversary gig to celebrate the 10th anniversary of the first album.
Hmm.
And now you're announcing tour dates and a new album coming next year. So it's a brilliant time for the Wombats. After 10 years, the same lineup. You must be delighted to see out a decade. It's an incredible achievement in music now.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Ridiculous. Well, it must be nearly 14 years since we started,
yeah.
Which is just crazy.
Yeah.
We don't look a day over 19.
No. I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? The passage of time in the band as well. Married now, there's kids involved. And you can tell in the music as well, you've all grown up through it. And it's mad to watch that process happen. Is it slightly odd for you to see
it's
that?
It's mad to be inside the process, yeah.
But the thing is, everyone grows up, don't they? And like, when you're younger starting out, you don't really think about the future or anything that's going to happen and how it's going to unfold. But so it's weird, like the 10 year anniversary thing was definitely a moment to sort of, it was a stamp of, you know, passage of time, going like, I can't believe that's been that long.
Do you notice it in the crowd as well when you look at them and say, God, they've grown up with us as well?
No, it's quite the opposite. Really,
it's weird. We keep expecting our fans to get, you know, to be the same age as us, but actually it's, if anything else, it's like when we actually started as a band, probably quite a few people weren't even born. Maybe not quite that, but
it seems like a lot of our, well, from those 10-year party shows, it seems like two-thirds of the room might not have even known the first album.
So, Murph, you moved to LA, right? How much has that changed the way you write your music? Because it's clearly a big difference from being over here. I mean, just simple things like the weather changes your disposition about the way you write music.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously still love Liverpool and London, but I think I'm a bit, like, as a person, like, I'm an empath. Like, I just absorb whatever's happening around me. And, like, 10 years of absorbing everything that's happening around me in London probably wasn't the best. LA is just a much calmer kind of lifestyle, and I feel a lot more relaxed, and I think it's really good for me. And I get to come back to London all the time, and Liverpool, and I appreciate it more because I'm not stuck inside it.
It's great how the Merseyside vernacular has come through in the lyrics, but with an LA twinge as well. So, you know, Lemon to a Knife Fight, explain the title of the new single, because it's all based in Mulholland Drive, which is a bit different from Stanley Road or
I was watching a lot of David Lynch and had this raging argument with my wife on Mulholland Drive, and she basically handed me my own arse. And she generally does that every time she argues with anyone, basically. So I guess the song came about that way, and it's just like kind of a metaphor for going into a situation that you clearly know you're going
to
lose.
It is hard to win an argument with a Kami. It's pretty difficult. Being back in London sometimes in the winter and like seeing some of Murph's posts online and stuff, and get a photo, the odd little stab of like WhatsApp, here's where I am right now, and you're like, oh, you little...
There's a bit of a British musician sort of scene over there as well. The Arctic Monkeys live out there as well. Do you bump into these guys when you're over there?
Not Arctic Monkeys per se, but a lot of other bands, yeah.
It's a bit stylish.
I was actually at a Halloween party. I'm not going to say who it was with.
Yeah.
And I went as a 90s rave girl, which I later named Michelle. and I was talking to like this guy who's probably in one of the biggest bands in the world. And I was just felt, I just didn't know what was happening. And only in LA could that have possibly ever happened.
Can you give us a couple of examples of the other unusual encounters like that that you've had when you're there?
Angelica Houston. Remember when we were recording the last album in Santa Monica?
Oh,
screeched the brakes on, and this lady, a crossing, suddenly like looked up and were like, you know, the witches.
Yeah.
Like as a kid, just my soul just disintegrated into a little mouse. And
Charlie's Theron and all that. There was this one time when I was going into a car park, and this guy was in this huge, massive, like Escalade-looking thing, and he was driving in the middle of the like road, and I just like stopped, and I was just like, what the hell are you doing? And he literally wound down the window, and he had this cap on. It was Colin Farrell just eyeballing me. I was like, all right, okay, off you go.
A bit angry scouse would have helped you out in that situation.
yeah
Go away.
So this is the first play on Radio X of the brand new Wombat single. It's a belter. Some great lyrics in there about saliva in the car and lipstick. I'm never going to get in a car with you, Murph. I think that's what I've decided after listening to this. So here it is, the first play on Radio X on the evening show. This is the Wombats and Lemon Tan Knife Fight.
Radio
X, the Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I brought a lemon to a knife fight.
Brand new single on Radio X, that's the Wombats and Lemon to a Knife Fight, inspired by Murph's travels over to America, I believe, and having a scrap on Mulholland Drive.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way you've taken a bit of Britain across to LA. So rowing on the street.
Yeah.
It's what we brought to culture in America. Tell me about this new album, because it's got a great title, Beautiful People Will Ruin Your Life. It's a mission statement, is it?
yeah, a little bit. I suppose it's kind of about kind of being enamoured by people, whether they're like friends or lovers or family or whatever it is, and kind of how that can actually sometimes ruin you. I guess I'm a bit of an obsessive person, so when I meet people, I kind of go, you know, 100% in, and sometimes it has negative consequences, and I think that's what a lot of the kind of Wombat songs are inspired by.
Yeah, have you managed to keep the inner sanctum pretty much the same from when you started off in 2013? Because it is a mad world you live in, and it does attract some unusual characters, I think it's safe to say, but do you have a really tight inner sanctum that sort of looks after you while you follow this mad life of rock and roll?
Well, we've all, like, the three of us, you know, we've been the same lineup since we started, and we've had the same manager pretty much from the word go, and then a lot of our crew have been like the same people throughout, which definitely makes it easier because you actually build like lasting bonds with these people. I think it was constantly like chopping and changing, it would be a bit more unsettling because, I mean, life on the road's pretty weird anyway. Yeah. And so yeah, we've been quite lucky in that respect. I think in some respects it's been actually a conscious decision to try and, you know, not change things too much if we don't have to. And also I think that, well, I mean, I've obviously never been in another band, but I get the impression that a lot of bands don't really spend that much time with their crew, or, you know, it's very much there's the artist, there's the crew,
yeah.
Whereas we're like best friends with them, basically. Yeah, so it does feel like a big kind of touring family rather than three people and some help.
It's seldom you hear that. It's great to hear. Now, another thing I'd love to ask you about is that you played two nights at the Sydney Opera House. An incredible thing for any band to do. You had that huge gig at Brixton. You've got Ali Pally coming up. So loads of amazing gigs in the history of the Wombats. But what's the worst gig you've ever performed? Is there one that just sends shivers down your spine?
Rock the Vote. Rock the Vote, Kansas City.
Paint the picture of this awkward encounter, this awkward moment.
It was in a really, like, soulless kind of mall in the middle of Kansas City, and behind us was like a huge LED screen where people in the crowd could text in whatever their thoughts or opinions about the band, or I think
politics as well.
So I was just like turning round and looking at this screen, and people were texting in like, I bet George Bush has never even heard of the Wombats, or like, who the F are these people? There's like 30 people in the crowd. It was like baking hot.
It was so hot.
It was insane.
And it was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and there was like 24 people there or something, and a few people just doing the shopping, like, turn this down, you know. It's like,
it was dark.
It was really bad, and we just got through it and just got off. I think we made some really sort of like, you know, political jokes that we thought were hilarious as well. And like, in America, sometimes the sense of humor doesn't translate, so there were some really confused looking faces.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
So, last week, I went with the Radio X gang to Cardiff to see Stereophonics playing an incredible show on home soil. They were back playing Cardiff University in support of our charity, Global's Make Some Noise. The timing was perfect too. It's 20 years since word gets around, and the venue, the Great Hall at the Uni, holds so many special memories for the band. So, I went down to the venue early, and I watched them sound check. Then Kelly, Rich, Adam and Jamie walked off stage into our room backstage for a drink and a chat about the emotional night that lay ahead of them. There was nostalgia pouring out of them as they painted a picture for all of us of the wild nights out that they'd survived in the 90s when the Stereophonics were making their name in music. So listen, lads, what do you reckon? 20 years or something since you last played Cardiff University. Is that about right? Something like that. So what are your memories of the last time you were here, Kelly?
Well, it was the first record. It was at the height of people finding out about the band, so it was pretty mental.
Didn't we have an after-show party, which we got
chucked
out. We did. There was an after show in Queen Street.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, that was the night.
Yeah, there was an after show in Queen Street.
Oh, and, I actually do remember that now.
And that my picture was actually on the laminate. When I was a kid dressed as Angus Young from AC/DC, and when I got to the door, the bloke said, "You can't come in." I said, "No, it's our party." I said, "I'm in the band." He goes, "No," and he threw me onto the street. And our security guard, no, not our security, our booking agent, Scott Thomas, who looks like a security guy, he's about 6'10" and bald. He got me in there, and then, was that the time your family had a big kickoff fight in there?
It was, yeah, we kind of, yeah.
Big scrap, big all scrap. On CCTV, it was a bit like the OK Corral, wasn't it?
I remember walking out of that club that night, and Richard was in the back of a police wagon being interviewed.
Good lad, Rich.
Yeah.
So that was Cardiff Uni, yeah. 20 years ago.
So are you hoping to replicate the same sort of carry-on this evening?
Absolutely. See you there.
Rich, I've got to ask you, how have the after-show parties changed and evolved in 20 years?
Well, they've become a lot better. As in, we don't get the police involved anymore. And we don't get people following us around with death threats. So, yeah, that's good.
I was going to ask you for your recommendations for a night out in Cardiff. For all the Radio X listeners, if you were suggesting how to celebrate post-gig, what would you say?
Well, we used to play in Sam's Bar, which was a good little rock and roll little pub, wasn't it? That was a good little
pub. It's gone now, though.
I don't know if it's there.
It's gone now, and he's gone as well. Yeah. Cardiff has changed a lot. I haven't been out in Cardiff since we got pulled from Pillar to Post the last time. But because all the sporting events come down here, like you say, it's not many cities in the world where the stadium's there and you walk outside the stadium and there's bars and restaurants everywhere, so people have a good crack. Even when but it changes every 10 minutes, like you say, that we play the... We played the Millennium Stadium with a police escort from the hotel, and the police got lost. We ended up down a one-way street, and they couldn't even find the stadium. They changed that to a dead end. So basically, whenever there's police involved in Cardiff, it's not ending well for us.
Can I talk a little bit about the pre-gig ritual? Because I noticed there's a really brilliant little music room backstage there with some lovely kit in there. Is that? I mean, do you use it properly? I mean, and are you quite disciplined about it, or do you think the more experienced you are, do you think I can just bring
it? We use it though, do we?
What we do is, it's like James Brown. We as a band,
tan gloves.
No. We play a lot of blues music. We warm ourselves up, and then James comes in about there. We use it a lot, don't we?
Do you remember that? We were in Twickenham, weren't we, years ago, and we were lucky enough to get backstage where the Stones were playing, and they were literally like set up in front of us like that. But Jagger wasn't singing; he was the backing singer, Bernard. But it was like Keith and Charlie and Ronnie Wood, and they were just like there doing their warm-up set before you walk on stage to be able to do a little gig before you go on stage, because you're in the same mindset as the people out there then. So yeah, we do have a knockabout. It's good. None of us know the same songs, but we have a knockabout.
Radio X,
the Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week. X.
So every Monday night, me and producer Vin delve a little bit deeper into a classic album, an album we love here at Radio X. In the past few weeks and months, we've had Beck, that was last week, the Joshua Tree by U2, going all the way back to Screamadelica by Primal Scream. We even had The Who from the 60s, 50 years old that album was. This week though, and I cannot believe this really, Gorillaz' debut album came out in 2001. It'd be old enough to buy cigarettes if it was a human being. I know I always say this kind of stuff, but that's incredible, Vin, isn't it? 16 years since this came out.
I remember it happening. I remember Gorillaz being a really exciting and new thing. And just, you know, it was a cartoon band. It was so different, wasn't it?
Yeah, I loved listening back to it as well, because it did sound like a bit of a gimmick before it came out. You thought, oh, here we go, this has been done before. But Damon Albarn absolutely nailed it. So the album, Gorillaz, self-titled, from March 2001, 16 years ago. It was released on Parlophone Records here and Virgin in America. It hit number 3 in the UK, number 14 in the US, which was a huge surprise hit, actually, because Blur weren't particularly big in America, if you remember then. I think Song 2 had done well in about 98, but they weren't massive. It had the singles Clint Eastwood, 19-2000, Rock the House, and Tomorrow Comes Today. It got the band an entry in the Guinness Book of World Records as well, because they were the most successful virtual band. They were made up of 2D, Murdoch, Noodle and Russell Hobbs. As a comment at the time, the lack of soul on MTV, all about Damon and Jamie Hewlett, thought a cartoon band would be just as real as the videos they were watching on MTV. So it was the first major project between the two of them. They met through Graham Coxon in 1990, and it wasn't love at first sight. They shared a flat in 97, and I think it's been stressful ever since. In fact, this year, Jamie Hewlett told us that he had to move to Paris to get away from Damon to try and encourage their productivity, because they just ended up scrapping
all the time. So this album was produced with Dan the Automator, who's a very clever man indeed. Worked with Kasabian not that long ago, actually, and loads of hip-hop acts. Adele the Funky, Homo Sapien, Kid Koala on there, and the group had worked in music together before, those three, but never under the name Gorillaz. Dave Rowntree played drums on a couple of the tracks as well. It's quite experimental. Damon stretching his wings for the first time at a hip-hop, trip-hop, dub, reggae, psychedelia, and even a bit of punk. Groove, synths, coupled with live recorded instruments, and loads of guest vocalists and rappers, which became a big theme of Gorillaz. It's quite experimental, and Vin, I know you're a massive Blur fan, so you can give us some Blur geekery on this as well.
Yeah, well, because it was sort of Damon sort of finding his feet and going into these odd different things that Blur wouldn't allow him to do. But sometimes that would come back into the band. So there was a demo for Tomorrow Comes Today, which ended up going on to 13 as like one of the bonus tracks on a special edition. And there's a song called On Your Own, which was on Blur, the self-titled album, which is they sort of described afterwards as being like the first Gorillaz song. But at the time, it was just like a bit of a weird Blur song.
You always point out little bits of Blur things to me. Every time there's a bit of Damon out, you always, so the melodica, Damon sort of puts it into everything, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, I think the melodica, you either associate it with Hardfi or with Damon Albarn, don't you?
Yeah, there's, and the guitar as well now. It's exactly, become Damon's thing. Often frowned upon, but when Damon picks up, he seems to get away with it. A lot of sampling on the album as well, including a sample of Ghost Town by The Specials on Slow Country. So we're going to do this. Two songs back to back from a classic album. This week is Gorillaz. I've got Clint Eastwood for you and 19-2000. Enjoy.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
This is the Evening Show on Radio X with me, Gordon Smart. Tonight's classic album, Gorillaz, from 2001, March 2001, over 16 years ago. Two songs back-to-back there. Clint Eastwood first. Ah, the demo was originally recorded by Damon on his own with a guitar and a drum machine. And then the band play it live. They often swap guest rappers. You might have seen this over the years. De La Soul, Booty Brown, Tiny Tempa, Kano Bashi, and even Snoop Dogg taking the mic on that. Remixed by Ed Case, who gave it a quicker beat and a dancier feel. Got the track compared to Basement Jaxx at the time. Before Clint Eastwood, I played 19-2000, which was the Soul Child remix, of course, and it took drums from a Sly and the Family Stone song, and Damon re-recorded his vocal part. Del the Funky Homo Sapien was never originally supposed to be on either Clint Eastwood or Rock the House, which you can hear in the background right now. How good does that sound? Fantastic, isn't it? Like a bit of Beastie Boys noodling. But after he recorded his album, Delton 3030, his producer asked him to stay behind in the studio. His producer was Dan the Automator, who was also working with Gorillaz. And he got Del to record some new verses for Clint Eastwood and Rock the House. And apparently he wrote Clint Eastwood after buying a book called How to Write a Hit Song. As people go running off to the music shop now, onto the internet to buy that. So that was Classic Albums tonight. Another one for you next Monday.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
So last week I was in Cardiff for a really special Stereophonics gig back on home soil at university. The new album features a song about their late bandmate, drummer Stuart Cable. He really was a force of nature. And the mood of reflection and nostalgia seemed right to ask about their memories of the rock and roll wild man.
We were talking the other day that we played Wembley Stadium with Aerosmith, right? And it was the day Wales played South Africa in rugby. And Stuart was like, I can't believe we got a gig today. It's a big game. This is a big game. And he went on stage in Wembley Stadium with a portable battery telly by his foot, and he was watching the game playing Wembley Stadium.
I've got to ask, as you mentioned Stuart, there's a song about him on the album. And you know, when you come back here as well, obviously there are memories of Stuart, and maybe it'd be nice to hear from you, Kelly, actually, you know, to, you know, after 20 years and word gets around and the anniversary's come around, does it bring back all those memories being back in town?
Yeah, because you know, the thing is, when you come back to Wales, this is a place where we would do all the pubs and the workingmen's clubs and stuff like that. So when you do a jump from there to like a football stadium, it does feel a bit surreal, because we used to walk around the city of Cardiff and watch all the people come to see the Stones or, you know, whoever was coming to town, you know. So when we walk around and see these people there, for us, it's a bit surreal. So, and myself, Richard and Stuart used to drive around in his yellow AA van, which we had from the auction. The tape recorder that didn't work. Around all those bars and clubs, so every time you play those songs, you have flashbacks. Baller, we used to come to Cardiff Uni. We came in to watch the Tragic Lip, which was one of our favourite bands, and then we paid £2.80 to come in, but we had to have NUS cards, and I was the only one who was an art student, so we were all in the local pub making fake NUS cards. And we were throwing cassettes with sellotape over them on the stage, the tragically up in hope that they would find the cassette. And years later, we became really good friends with them, so that was pretty cool. That was Cardiff Uni. Yeah.
Rich, I've got to ask you as well, you know, your memories of Stuart coming back here and being in Cardiff.
Stuart was a big part of the band, and like Kelly said, we used to come down here and watch gigs. I remember coming down here once in... I borrowed my father's Volvo, and we raced down here just to get to the studio. And it wasn't a gig on, it was just a pound of pipe, so we got hammered. And... I was driving, so I wasn't drinking. I was being responsible. But we were racing somebody on the way back, and Stuart was just egging me on. And I remember dumping the car into third gear, and the gearbox just exploded. So we had to drive home in third.
Yeah.
All the way.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
So here they are, talking about friendships in the band and the race for number one. And when we were talking to them, it was really heating up.
The reason you get in a band is the camaraderie between each other, really. You know, we grew up with people like The Faces and The Stones and AC/DC and stuff like that, and it was about a gang mentality. And, you know, we genuinely all go out for a beer and we all get on with each other. Most bands, they meet on stage, you know, they don't really see each other. So it is important, and we do like to have a knockabout. We try not to get caught as much as other people do. We've never really been into the celebrity side of it, so we always knew there was a back door out of anywhere you went in. You don't have to come out the front with cameras are. If you find the back door, park your car around the back of there, and then you're all right. No.
Jamie, what's the best night out you've had with the band, the wildest night out you've had since you joined?
Well, it wasn't necessarily wild, but it was the first tour, and I remember I was wearing pyjamas after the show, and we went into this place, and some chap was being derogatory towards me, and I sat down, and I just remembered they all got up at the same moment, and were like, squared up to him, and I was like, I'm in a proper band. I'm actually in a band. It was definitely a really amazing moment where I was like, I'm definitely in the right place. You know,
there's a bit of an extra element to tonight as well, because, you know, there's a really good chance you're going to go to number one. So does that sort of raise the levels for you boys on stage, another success like that under your belt?
That's why I was late. Michael Ball's tyres down his car, so he couldn't get to the next signing in HMV.
See, I've got to ask you about that, right? Michael Ball and Alfie Bo. It'd be quite a sweet moment kicking those two chaps off number one, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, we've been there all week. I mean, if we get pipped at the post, it'd be pretty disappointing. But Il Divo beat us the number one on the greatest hits. So, you know, worst things have happened. And Michael interviewed us the other day on a Radio 2 thing. He's a good lad, actually. Yeah. He's a good crowd. But it's like, for us, it'd be like number seven, and it's... to me, the last one, Keep the Village Going to number one, probably meant more than some of the earlier ones, because it's like the further into your run you get it, and you got records on the radio, which is alongside people on their debut album, and you're only like ninth album, it feels a bit more special. And at the beginning, it was all moving so fast, you don't really take it in, you know. So if we get it, I'm going to get seriously drunk.
So one final thing, Kelly, you're about to go on stage at Cardiff University, play 1,200, 1,300 punters. What's the guest list like for the start tonight? Is this just going to be a massive crowd of your family?
A couple of cousins and mates and stuff like that. Yeah, but Beanie, our mate, used to sit next to me, and Richard in school is coming down. That was our first band, actually, KRD. Kelly, Richard, Darren. There you go. See that?
Very inventive.
Down there. Yeah. I remember drawing the logo for that.
Got the tattoo?
I didn't get the tattoo. He probably did.
Yeah. Now, last up, Jamie, you know, for you to have the chance to play at all these venues now, that must be pretty exciting for you as well.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's an absolute blessing. Yeah. Totally amazing.
What was the pinch yourself moment so far?
They happen every day.
Yeah.
They happened I was on the way to here today, and I was just thinking, going to go to a stadium and announce that we're playing there next year, going to play to some... I remember being here back in the day, you know, and you just have a memory when you walk back in that you have been here.
Yeah.
It's just amazing to still be here.
Adam, Rich, Jamie, Kelly, it's a real pleasure to see you again.
Thank you.
Looking forward to tonight. I'm sure it's going to be incredibly emotional as well.
Thank you,
luck for the number one, and see you at the stadiums next year.
Brilliant, thanks.
Thank you, buddy.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Thank you very much for downloading the Evening Show podcast from Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart. Leave a review, tell your friends, and we'll be back with another edition next week.
Radio X.